The Drinker Report, first filed on 3rd of June 1924, would finally be published in August 1925, with a press date of 25th of May, 5 days before Hoffman had first read his study, in order to give Drinker precedence of the discovery of the link between the girl's illnesses and the radioactive paint. Whatever date they put on it, it was published well over a year after being submitted to USRC. Commentators on the case later said, "This report by the Harvard investigators was a scientific document of the greatest importance, not only to remedy conditions in this plant, but to acquaint other manufacturers using the same radium formula with its toxicity and potentially lethal effects. Science and humanity alike demanded immediate publication of this report, but it was resolutely suppressed." The company had tried to keep everyone in the dark. The Department of Labour, the medical community, the women they had doomed to die. But the light, finally, was flooding in now. The momentum was building for the women's cause, even as radium supporters tried to throw it off track, and Martland, the girl's illustrious medical champion, was first in the firing line as pro-radiumites sought to undermine his credibility. William Bailey, the man behind the Radithor tonic, remarked cuttingly, "Doctors who have never had the slightest experience with radium and know no more about it than a schoolboy have been trying to garner some publicity by claiming harmful effects, and their statements are perfectly ridiculous." Bailey added that he would happily take in one dose all the radium used in the factory in 1 month. USRC, too, was quick to step in, with a spokesman saying dismissively, "Radium, because of the mystery which surrounds much of its activities, is a topic which stimulates the imagination, and it is probably this rather than actual fact that has caused the outcry." Rhoda weighed into the debate, claiming publicly that many of the women were unfit when they started dial painting, and as an excuse had unfairly impugned the firm. It wasn't even the female victims alone that USRC attacked. A spokesman said that Lehman, the chief chemist who had died, was not in robust health when he began with radium work. Yet the momentum that had begun and was now building, first with Hoffman's report, then Sarah's sacrifice, and now the Drinker report too, was unstoppable. Even Andrew McBride, who had previously seemed reluctant to intervene, now beat the drum of change. He made a personal visit to the Orange studio and asked why the Drinker's safety recommendations had not been put into effect. He was informed that the firm did not agree with them all. Many of them had already been followed, and some were impractical. McBride wasn't swayed. Now he said that he believed that human life is far too important to be neglected or wasted if it is possible to conserve it. Consequently, he declared that if the firm did not carry out the Drinker's suggestions, "I would issue orders to close their factory. I would compel them to comply or close, no matter at what cost." For those who had long supported the girls, it was a complete turnaround. Carl Quimby, the priest who had offered spiritual comfort to Hazel Cooser, was relieved to observe that, at last, someone in authority was finally taking note.